welcome, welcome to the Bass Vibration Network. Yes, this is Ashley K in the building. We got RJ, he's finally on top. We got Queen Kwan, she's actually not here today, but, you know, she's chiming in. She's listening in, had some, you know, to do with me, but, you know, she's in the spirit. And we are going to have our guest, JL. He came back to Vibe. I'm so excited and I'm so thankful. Actually, chimed in now. I'm glad we got our technical difficulties that we were with last week under wraps. So we're good to go now. We figured it out. Like I said, we knew this. We just learning. We're not professional or experts just yet. So you guys that are chiming in with us early on in the game get to see the evolution and the growth that we have here at Bass Vibration Network with the Bass Vibe Tribe, right?
I'm excited about that.
Of course.
I'm excited about that. But today we got this is not a test part two. So last week we got into it, some history. RJ was spitting nothing but straight fire. Like, oh my God. When I listened back, I was like, yo, he was dropping so much knowledge. You can use it. So much knowledge, so much information that I just was like, wow, I was taking notes and I was learning. And then you had JL, he chimed in at the end. And he was spitting fire. I said, goodness. And he, you know, gave us some homework. I did actually start reading the book that he recommended. And I must say, I'm a human, right? You know, I don't want to seem like I know everything and I can't ever stand corrected and none of that. I want to say right here in front of everybody, like, I stand corrected as far as the way I was saying we should all stick together and, you know, how we all as humans should come together and, you know, go against the Jews. I stand corrected on that. Because after reading just the first couple of chapters of the book, I started realizing where the root of the problem lay, like where it comes from, why we are having such a hard time coming together as humans, as one race, why it's not as simple as I was trying to make it seem. And that was just based off of the knowledge that I have, you know. But after reading and studying this past week, I was like, wow, you know, even my eyes was open to some history facts that I didn't even know about in situations that was happening. So we got JL, let's get him up on the line. And I want him to hit on some points that he wanted to hit on last week but didn't have the opportunity to do so. So JL, are you there?
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. We can hear you loud and clear. I'm excited.
Yeah, boy. I would say, what's going on, RJ?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, brother. Man, I was trying to beat the doors down last week trying to get on. But, yeah, I'm excited today, guys. And like I was talking with Miss Ashley, and we're just going to let the spirit flow with us today and what we're talking about. There's a lot of different directions that we can go in. But I would like for you guys just to ask me some questions of something, and we can go from there. And I have some notes on certain things that we can touch on, and we can see what's happening.
I mean, I don't know, RJ, what's my question? Well, the first thing I really want to elaborate on is, like I was saying, give your viewpoint in detail because you got cut off last time. So we didn't have a lot of time for you to really get into detail about where the root of all of this is coming from. Like, what is the problem? Why is it not easy for us just to come together as all humanity against the Jews? We talked about the, you know, Illuminati and you know, the R family, because that's just what I'm going to call them. And, we talked about them, and, you know, we got a little bit into it, but it's really a lot deeper than that. It's not going to be as easy as I thought it probably would be. So do you have any pointers or any knowledge on why it's not, any history facts behind that?
Well, we have to come to this this point. First of all, us as a people, we have been segmented and pitted against each other for centuries. So it's hard for us right now to even have trust amongst ourselves. We can't organize a picnic together without having some kind of argument or dispute. Hell, we can't even organize a funeral or a fundraiser without somebody wanting to run the show, and we got too many Indian chiefs. So first and foremost, we have to clean up house first and understand the mental anguish that we've been through as a people and work on that, because it takes a lot of healing. People don't realize that, you know, when the so-called emancipation of proclamation happened. That wasn't that long ago, people. And then when Martin Luther King and all those guys were fighting for equal rights and to be a part of the whole system, that was in the 60s. That wasn't that long ago. So we can't expect to come out of basically 500 years of being enslaved and being mentally beat down and think that 40 and 50 years is enough for us to be healed, to be able to unify and organize, right?
Right.
So that's what we're saying.
Especially with all of the manipulative tactics and divide and conquer and, you know, all these psychological traps in the sense that was set in the system, being that the system was created by those who had slave masters mentality, you know. So this is a system, and it's programming people, and it has been doing it for centuries, you know. It's encrypted in the DNA, in a sense.
Exactly, RJ. And right now, there's been studies stating that because of that torture, it's embedded in our DNA. Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever had or seen somebody that had a dog or a cat and that owner was very abusive to that animal? The reaction that animal did every time you raise your hand up or you get up, the dog is real shaky and scared. Well, see, that's what happened to us. You know, when it's not funny, but that's what happened to us. You can watch something like Django Unchained. You can watch Goodbye, Uncle Tom. You can even watch Roots and the new Roots that just came out and see the psychological effect. Let me say, if Ms. Ashley, if you were impregnated and you seen your husband get quartered, and everybody's seen your husband get quartered in front of him, and this guy's telling him, like, nah, if you ever think to do what Jim Bob did, this is going to happen to you. You're going to do everything you can do to protect your baby. You're going to say, please, missus, don't look at Mr. John like that, blah, blah, blah. And so that was handed down to us. And so that's what we're facing. So it's going to take years. This is not nothing that's going to happen overnight. We have to, and I'm going to be honest with you, the older generation, they are already set in their ways. We have to focus our efforts on the youth. We have to focus our efforts on the kids. There's a gentleman named Marcus Klein. Marcus, I'm giving you a shout-out, free advertisement. He's down in Georgia, and he has a school. Look up this man on Facebook and see what he's doing with his school. Marcus Klein. As a matter of fact, I'll send you a link to it, Ms. Ashley, so you can post it for people to see if you like. Beautiful, beautiful school what he's got. He's got little second, third, fourth, and fifth graders reading SAT words, doing complicated math. See, we have to focus on the kids and put them in a position to become leaders in the future.
And it's so good. I'm excited. You definitely got to send me information about that because that's my passion. That's actually one of my life's callings is to open up the school. And that's what I've been working on. And it's funny, like, even with my kids at home, like, they don't even get upset. My kids are weird. You know, I only got a little 5 and 7-year-olds, but they don't get bent out of shape when they come home and mommy gives them extra work to do. Like, they actually get excited. They actually get mad at me when I don't. Like, it's crazy. Like, they're like, you didn't make out my hand. So, it's like, yeah, Bobby forgot to put off some more packets for you. But I feel what you're saying. Like, the kids is where our focus has to go. You know, I agree wholeheartedly with that because they're fresh. They're new. They don't really know. They don't have all that turmoil with them right now. Like, they're not in, you know, being born into, you know, slavery and on the plantation. Like, they're not experiencing that. So it's cool to teach them that and let them know because they need to be aware of their history so they don't repeat it, though. But at the same time, like you're saying, we have to equip them so they can be leaders. Don't just tell them about what happened and they're illiterate or they can't barely read and they barely can do problem solving and don't know what no other language is, and you know, they don't know nothing about business and know nothing about finances. But how we expect them to get out of the rut of being technically in slavery, because right now we're not on a plantation, but we are on a plantation, if that makes sense. Like, we still dealing with a systematic slavery. So,
we're in the matrix right now. What happens in the public school systems is, we are regimenting our children to go to these factories that take away their creativity, so to say. They train them to be drones, to be a part of the collective. If anybody ever watched Star Trek, I'm a science fiction fan. But when you look at Star Trek: The Next Generation, you come across something that's called the Borg, and it's this big collection of this one centralized thought. And everybody that's a part of it, they have to become assimilated to it. Right?
To save 40% on 4 bottles of award-winning wine.
Right.
Oh, man,
so, are we okay?
No, we good.
Okay. So what happens is they regiment these kids to think that, okay, you go to school for 12 years, you wake up early in the morning, you go to school for a certain amount of hours, then you go home. And it's training you to go to college. And you go to college and you get an education and go get a job. You go get that job and you wake up every morning, you go to that job, and you come home. After 40, 50 years, you retire. You're old. You're dead. And it chews you up and spits you out. Where's the creativity? There was a time in history where people would wake up and they would work on their craft. If you were a warrior, you go out and train. If you were an artist, you go out and do your art. If you were a carpenter, you go out and build things.
Perfected.
But going back to before, like, even today, this is why we're feeling systematic. Like, that sounds good. But we have to be realistic. Like, if I'm a math person, right? If I can sit at home and just read math books and solve math problems all day long and then draw, because I like drawing, if I can draw and if I can paint and I can be very artistic all day with no worries as far as bills or none of this other extra stuff, that's realistic, but we don't live in that time where people just wake up and just do that all the time without having to worry about life. Like, the way we have to pay for everything. Like, you have to pay for water. Like, you have to pay for everything. Like, it's really nothing that you have to pay for, so it's not as realistic as before. So it's like, again, we're still in some type of systematic slavery thing.
The system is meant to indoctrinate. It's an indoctrination process. The moment you're born, you have a birth certificate, and that's the moment you're indoctrinated into this country and the system that was built by forefathers, you know, who all wasn't right upstairs. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of them were wicked, you know, and this was where, you know, white supremacy, you know, just colonialism, you know.
But how can we come together? Like, if we got trust issues and we don't trust everybody, how do we come together?
Okay, so in my thought process, and you're right, today you cannot do that. You cannot wake up and say, hey, I want to go do my rock pebbles today. Unless you're going to go out and sell it to somebody and they buy it, then you can do that as a business. But first and foremost, we have to get a collective group of people of like ideas and start that community. There are people that have done that. You remember the beautiful Lisa Lopez, Left Eye? She would take trips down to Belize. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when what do you think she was doing down there? There's a collective community out there where they're living this life. Well, people, you know, if you're a carpenter, okay, man, we're building houses. This guy over here is an agriculturalist. He's making gardens and making food and planting food. These women are over here teaching the kids. It's a big community. We come from a socialism standpoint as a people. We were a collective. If I did this and you did that, we all came together and we all ate together. It was a big system. And now they try to make socialism seem so bad, but it's not. It means everybody attains and everybody gets at the same time. Nobody is bigger than someone else. So when you look at this system of capitalism, I'm going to capitalize off of you. Oh, you like to look good. Well, I'm going to put this brand on these two-cent glasses, and now you're ready to go pay $300 for them because it has that brand on. But you can go buy that same lens or glasses, whatever, that frame, for 1 cent. If there's other places, you just don't have a brand. Oh, I want the authentic Chanel glasses. Hey, come on, man. We're materialistic because we've been bred to believe that. So we have to get at the big social construct and get away from that. We have to.
Yeah. Remove basically that selfish aspect that was developed throughout history. in, you know, to present time. Because right now, I mean, a lot of people are selfish. I have to call it out. We all somewhat became selfish. I mean, me, myself, I've always been giving, you know what I'm saying, generous person. But just my observations in general, you know what I'm saying, I can, you know, I see that. And like I said, sharing and giving up, it's not happening. The reason why we're not exchanging the money between each other like we're supposed to.
But then if you have, people like the Moors, like the Moors-like mentality, where they're the ones that pretty much backstabbers.
Yeah, they were like what you would call sellouts. That's from my understanding, that, you know, the Moors, there were some Moors that negotiated with the Europeans at the time who were into the colonialism, was trying to, you know, conquer myself different regions of the world for their resources. And, you know, from my understanding, there were some Moors that, you know, joined with them for, in order to gain their sovereignty, you know, quote unquote. So.
But we still got that going on today.
It's still happening, yeah.
I want to speak on that. So let's look at this. I had notes on this from last week. The Arab invasion of Egypt, okay? When Islam took a foothold of that portion of the continent, this is what happened, man. They were already going in and taking Africans as slaves. What they would do with the men, and actually you guys revealed that, which, you know, I had some information on that. They would make eunuchs out of our men, cutting off their penises, right? And they would take out women and make them concubines and make children women. That's why you see dark-skinned Arabs. But the whole purpose of me saying that, well, these Moors that you're speaking of, they were converted to Islam. And I want to speak on religion as well, too. That's a big thing with us as a melanated people. We are very spiritual people. And so these Moors, they believe in Islam. So when they went, and when you get into indoctrinated with something, I can form a cult tomorrow if I was charismatic enough and people follow me, and I can have them drinking my Kool-Aid, and then I can tell them that those guys over there, you can't trust them. This is what happened to the Moors. Now, some of the things that they did. Go ahead, brother. You wanted to say something?
No, we're listening. Go ahead.
Okay. So those Moors, they were believing what they were doing in Islam, and they went and proceeded with the destiny that the Arabs wanted. They circumvented the whole top portion of Africa. They went from Egypt on up to Morocco, on down to the western point of Africa. That's why you still have people that are speaking Islam, or they practice Islam now in West Africa. That's what it's come from. So, yeah, there were some bad things that happened from them, but let's not just paint them in the bad light, because if it wasn't for the Moors, if it wasn't for the Moors, they actually civilized Europeans from 711 AD.
I get it. No. Now, that part right there, let's just stop at that one part, because I think that's a major problem, and it's going back to your trust thing. Because the Moors civilized the Europeans, which were people outside, like they let them come inside the tribe and let them see what they were doing, and show them how they were doing stuff, and then the people took it and ran with it. This is like similar to Mark Zuckerberg's story with when he was at Harvard, like with the whole situation with Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody came to him about an idea and he just took it and made it better. That's literally what they saw it. They felt intimidated by what they saw, and they just sat there and they learned. They know us better than we know ourselves. Like, it's that, like, they know us. That's why they keep playing us. We don't know ourselves. That's why they have an upper hand, because they strategically and systematically separated us. So to say, like, that's an accomplishment that the Moors, you know, help the Europeans, I think that honestly is the root of everything, to be honest with you. That's just my personal viewpoint.
I feel like everybody's an individual. And I feel like each group, like even different religions, have some sort of extremists. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some, like, in Christianity, you got KKK, you're talking Islam, you know, you talk about, you know, different groups, you have some sort of extremists that's, like, on some, you know.
But we would have always kept the upper hand if we wouldn't have been so open arms teaching everybody. That's what I'm trying to say.
True.
We don't want taught them everything, and then they turned around and back, like, they putting it against us right now.
Yeah.
They're becoming more spiritual than us, because they understand spirituality. They have studied us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know, we don't really know ourselves.
The thing is, you know, I know in Egypt, they wanted to teach it openly, but they didn't want the public to know this sort of information. So they kept it a secret, you know, and they devised a certain system that will, you know, program people in a sense, which is, you know, what we live in today now. This is what they did.
How is it okay in our history in Nevada? How is that okay? I don't understand this. How is that okay that they have secret vaults with our history that we have no access to? Like, literally, does this make sense?
So to finish up, so basically, like you said, it was an accomplishment because by them, if you go look at some of the architecture that's in Spain right now, and they try to cover this up, but it can't reveal, they can't hide the fact that it was these black guys, these black Moors that gave them all the civilization that they have. Taught them how to bathe, taught them how to, you know, be civil. But let's look at the point. Their greatest error was doing that. By sharing all that knowledge with them people, guess what happened? This is important. From 711 AD to 1492. What's so significant about the year 1492? From 1492, the Moors ran all of the lower Spain. They ran that. That was their stuff. And then they were overthrown. You can watch the movie Othello or the play by Shakespeare. It's a beautiful thing. And those Europeans, they took that knowledge. They welcomed it, but they despised the Moors. They despised them. After you taught them all that information, they despised them.
It's kind of like when somebody buys a new house, either they're going to, you know, show love or they're going to, you know, have jealousy in their heart. That's basically what it was.
Right. they got envy in their heart. I want them bastards out of here. So, but if you look at all the... Yeah, they do way too much. We should be running our own country, and that's what happened. But if you look at all the crest of these European countries, there's going to be a black face on it, and those are the Moors. So, but no, and they were right. You're right. They were dirty for, but see, in the minds of the Moors, they were like, them people over there, they're not part of our group, so they're just, you know, an infidel to us. That's what their mind state. It's just like if somebody is a Christian, and if they're looking at the Islamics or a native people, they're like, these people are savages, right? They didn't have any compassion for them because they didn't view them as part of their clique. But you can't dispute the greatness or the things that they attributed to civilization. You can't do that. So you have to appreciate it, but they did some messed up things too, and you got to acknowledge that also. So that's that point. So I consider myself to be universal. I study everything. Yes, and, you know what I'm saying, I have to study everything, and I have to give all praise to where praise is due. Now, where there is bad things, I have to acknowledge that as well. That's why I don't never ascribe myself to one specific thing, because I study it all.
Which makes sense. And that's what we should do. We should be very well-rounded and very universal. I get to that point, but when you try to get to the root of something, you got a root has to be pinpointed. And I don't know if we'll ever probably get to the root of that when it comes to that, because it's so scattered and so opinion-based, and we don't really have all of the facts. We get to a lot of hidden agendas and a lot of hidden secrets that we don't have access to for whatever reason. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I apologize. There's an old adage, and I might get it wrong, but I think you guys understand where I'm coming from. They say you learn from history so you don't make those same mistakes, right?
Yeah.
This is why we read history, so we don't make the same errors. And our problem is we're not reading history. We don't know ourselves, and we're making the same mistakes over and over and over again. That's the problem. So now that we know that we can't be so damn open on to everybody until we get to where we need to be first. Then once we establish that, yes, now we have a community of people, we trust each other, we can feed ourselves, we can defend ourselves. Now let's start working with some other people so we can change the world back. Because the whole world is waiting for us.
So does that mean we need to be segregated and not integrated? Like, we shouldn't be together? We should be separate?
To be honest with you, this is the movement that Elijah Muhammad, first and foremost, Marcus Garvey, the Noble Drew Ali. These are things that they talked about. We were too ready to intermingle with other people that didn't give a damn about us at all before we cleaned our own house up. It probably would be a benefit if we take some time to be amongst ourselves and deal with ourselves. One of my favorite comics is the Black Panther. I can't wait for the movie to come out. But if you watch the Black Panther, and I know it's fictitious, but if you watch the Black Panther cartoon that was on BET that got canceled because it was too damn raw, like they said, we take our borders seriously. We don't need no outside influences right now. I don't need nobody coming into our organization and say, hey, Ashley, RJ, you guys have a great program. But you know what? If you just tweaked it this way and did this to it, man, get the fuck out of here. I don't need you to do that. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, you come in and you abide by what we're doing. If not, you know, go do your own thing. And see, that's how we have to be.
I actually agree. I acted like that. I do. Yeah. I'm all for that because I actually, it had to be probably maybe a year or so ago, I made a post. I'm always one of those people that does surveys on Facebook. So I'm quick to write a question or some type of a controversial statement to try to get engagement and get other people's opinions. And that was one of the topics. Do we want to be segregated or do we want to be integrated? So, it, you know, that's a touchy subject. A lot of people really don't want to answer that. And that could be another episode, to be honest with you, because we can. I would actually like to get a couple of people, like we can get maybe four people to say, hey, I want to chime in, and we all just have a conversation. You know, and if it gets out of hand, we always control the studio dashboard, so we can always mute them. But I think that should be a good topic to see people's viewpoints of that, because I honestly think we do need to be segregated. And not, for example, down south, I said this, maybe because I lived in Jersey for a while, and that's literally where I'm from, I felt like the South had an advantage over the Northern states. Why was they so ready to fight? Oh, we because this bathroom got white and this bathroom said colored. I think that your school is white and our school said colored. I felt like we needed to be segregated so we can keep having what we had. Like, you got to think back in that time, what did we have in our community? Because we weren't allowed in their community. We had our own bank. We had our own stores, we had our own farms, we had our own just everything, right? We had everything of our own because we weren't allowed to go into their establishment feeling comfortable. We were not comfortable with them. So we felt like, okay, well, we just have our own. Yeah, our own wasn't the greatest because we didn't have obviously, we didn't have a lot of education or a lot of money or a lot of resources because you got to think that's right after slavery. But right now, come on now.
I feel like imposing like laws of segregation? No. You know what I'm saying? It should be the way it is now. We have no choice. We're going to have to deal with it. But I feel like we got to stop pointing fingers and realize this is a culture. You know what I'm saying? Our kids are being raised in this culture, and everything we're doing today affects tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So coming together on that level where we identify it as a culture, we have to understand this culture, especially being that the roots were stripped, you know, the original roots that was planted were stripped and brought over here. And, you know, now the minds were filled by, you know, a whole bunch of deceptive information, et cetera, you know, about people who wanted to make each individual feel inferior. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then you got the
white Jesus Christ and all that.
True, but then you got the Jews, you got the Asians, you got the Arabs. Well, they come over here, and this is my viewpoint from being from up north. Because that's a melting pot right there by New York City. We have Chinatown. You got you got the Jews in their own area. You got the Arabs in their area. They don't think like that. Like they don't. It's not about a law, but they don't be thinking, oh my God, because you know this law is in place. You know, I can't be my own people. Like they just come over here, they see the land opportunity, they grind and stick together, look at it as discrimination. They just look at it as my kids is with my people and your people can be with your people. Like, it's just, yeah, they probably do business, obviously, together. Yes, we go to Chinese stores and eat their food. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like we feel uncomfortable going to a Chinese store or a Chinese restaurant. But at the same time, when they go home to sleep, do you really see in the hood a Chinese person living next door to you? No. You don't see them living in the same neighborhood on the same block.
question to that is my question to that is why are we still going shopping at their stores then? Why are we if you want Asian food so bad, learn how to cook it.
We probably talk about it cooking. I mean, I feel like that's what we people gonna look at it as we're discriminating. People gonna look at it like, oh, you're being racism, but they're not being racist on how they're sharing their money.
Every culture in the world.
Exactly. So how many of our restaurants are they coming to patronize? How many of our shops are they coming to patronize?
Well, down south y'all do, because down here they all eat black food. I've never seen there's so many Caucasians love fried chicken, love collard greens and cornbread. Like, if I'm not mistaken, that was a black southern food. Like, y'all just took the culture and now y'all just want to eat it all the time.
What that was, like we came up with it, but we was in up in the big house cooking that for the Sunday dinner when Master had all his friends over. Oh, old Jane can make the best fried chicken around. Have a taste of it. That's what that. No, they love that shit. No, man, but that no. Yeah, we came up with it. You think the damn Colonel came up with that secret recipe? Hell to the no. There was somebody in his tutors that made up that recipe, and then he like, oh, this shit tastes good. I'm gonna go out and sell it. No, man, he didn't come up with that damn recipe. So we have to really look at it. Yeah, they are coming, and you know they love our culture, man. Everybody loves our culture, you know, but. Do they really patronize? If you have something, I test you to do this. In your neighborhood, where you have a store owned by somebody else, go in there and try to tell them about one of your business opportunities and see how they look at you. See if they support you. But they want your dollar. And I was at the co-op today helping out in Houston. We were doing like a community a forum where we're growing our own food and things of that nature. I stopped to get a Gatorade. And when I didn't know this store. I've never been there before. Why the hell this Gatorade is like $2.75? I'm like, what? I said, Raj, $2.75 for this damn Gatorade? I was thirsty, right. So I bought it. But $2.75 for this Gatorade? Really? Really? And I looked at him like, I said, really? So, man, shit. And that's what I'm talking about. They price gouges. They do all this, and we think they're doing us a damn favor. But if I open up that gas station right across from Raj, that's JL. I don't know if I want to support him. I'm going to go stick with Raj. What kind of sense does that make, people? We have to support our businesses. If your friend have a business or you, it don't even have to be your friend. If one of your people have a business, support it because we need to put jobs in our communities.
But maybe if we get a little bit more structured with our businesses and stop having it so, like he was saying before, it's so selfish. Like, everybody want to do their own little thing. Nobody want to come together. Like, okay, we got a lot of boutiques. Why don't we own Walmarts and Targets and stuff like that? Why do we have 50 million boutiques everywhere? Like, we the only culture that do silly stuff like that. It's silly to me. Yeah, you like fashion. Okay, well, partner with somebody else like fashion. Instead of having your own little boutique, how about, like, five of y'all come together and make a huge store? See, it just makes more sense. I just don't understand. I am not for all these boutiques everywhere. I'm just not. I don't get the idea of it. It makes no sense to me. You're an entrepreneur, cool. Partner up with another entrepreneur. If you get five people with $5,000 of their tax money, that's $25,000 right here to start a business. I don't understand. Why does everybody have to be the face of everything? Like, that's our problem. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's the problem. We got Facebook, yeah. Instagram. Every time I turn around, there's another black-owned boutique. I actually had a boutique, even though I just shut it down, because it got aggravated. I'm like, why I got a boutique? You got a boutique. You got, like, come on. Why would you can't come in? Why everybody got had an old boutique? Create a big clothing store like Macy's, right? Don't Macy's have different styles in there? If I'm not mistaken, they got a children's section, a men's section, an elderly section, a plus-size section, a youth section. Okay, your boutique might be for kids, cool. Your boutique might be for plus-size women, cool. You like swimsuits, cool. You like menswear, cool. Like, this is what I'm just doing. You like shoes. You like makeup. Make a Macy's. Make a JCPenney's. Why do we have 50 million when somebody can explain that to me, I maybe can understand it. But I get it. Everybody's like, well, I'm a small business owner. It's because we don't want to get structured. We don't want to come together. And I'm not trying to be funny, and I hear what everybody's saying about support your own, but I'm not about to sit here and shop at 50 million boutiques. And you, because, and I know how it is, I had a boutique. You have to price your stuff high because you're doing it all alone. So you're not buying it. Like, I know I wasn't buying 1,000 shirts at $1. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, I didn't have that capital to upfront do that. Therefore, if I'm spending $10 on a shirt, you know I'm going to have to at least make half my, like, you know, make $10 off it. So, yeah, I'm going to charge you $20 or $25 for a shirt and just get free shipping. Because I'm not buying 1,000 of them because I'm not a Macy's, a Target, a JCPenney. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm not buying it a lot. But if we come together and we start, every girl that likes fashion, every girl that likes makeup, bring it together. I think that's really another thing. Like, we seriously need to do that. We should have a black mall. Like, you know, girls got hair.
Actually,
you got all these boutiques selling hair.
Right now, everybody.
RJ and Miss Ashley, would you not agree that if we start implementing that by teaching the kids, then that's how we make that happen? Because right now, trying to talk to adults and people already doing it, that's like talking against a brick wall. So we have to start showing it to the youth and training them to use these techniques, and then that can come to fruition.
Yeah.
You got a point.
Because, I mean, knowledge is true wealth. You can take that from them. Once you share that with them, once they get a certain understanding to, like, you know, how to identify certain things in life in general, you know, you can use that knowledge as like a compass in a sense to guide you through the experience.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And use your common sense and wisdom to make right decisions.
Sure.
You know, so teaching the kids that and instilling that foundation for them spiritually, you know, allows them to feel secure with who they are, accept who they are, understand that this is beyond themselves and that they're part of something greater, which
sure.
allows them to achieve their greatest potential. You know what I'm saying? But you have to spend a lot of time, more time than money. Money is important, of course. You got to make that money and take care of your business. But at the same time, you know, spending more time and being very attentive versus just, you know, hollering at your kids and beating them, da, 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 da. So, like, actually sit them down and explain to them, like, really spend. And then beyond that, spend some time with them. Understand them. You know what I'm saying? Build that relationship.
And that makes sense. That's why with this network, we could have just did a radio podcast, right? We could have just called it Base Vibe Tribe. To be technical with you, I didn't have to make it into a network. The purpose behind the network, and I explained this on the first episode, was to get other people that want to do podcasting but really might not know how to do it or might not got a huge following or might not understand branding and marketing. They can go under the umbrella of a network where you can be creative. You talk however you want to talk on your network. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do however your audience, whatever your audience feels, and you vibe with them how you vibe with them. But it's all in one network, so everybody is supporting everybody because everybody will be on the same website. Everybody's in the same circle. So I might be listening to a Base Vibe Tribe episode, but then I scroll on the website. I'm like, oh, I see, you know, another episode about something else, a women's empowerment or a men's, like, I don't know, just anything, right? So now I'm going to click on that other radio station, and I'm going to listen to them. So now you just got another following from another person's following. Like, you get what I'm saying? And it makes sense. Like, you didn't even know that person. That person know you, but because you connected to a network of other individuals, they're like, oh, let me check them out. They fall in love with you. Now you just, by default, got you another follower just off of them listening to it or being friends or a cousin or somebody else. So, again, it all goes into networking. We all, you know, especially me, you know, Jay, Quan, we all into network marketing. We get that, you know, as far as leveraging and all that stuff. So I feel both of y'all as far as making it so big, and this is why I need a school. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, this is why I have to have a school. Like, I cannot, a program is not good enough. That's another thing. We quit. We want our own bases. They always want to build a program, after school program. We always want some type of extracurricular type of program. Not thinking of, okay, yeah, you see them maybe for an hour a week or maybe 5 hours a week at the school because you got an hour every day. But the meat and the potatoes is school. Like, the kids is at school ain't even at home, you know? So why are we not trying to focus more on building better schools? Stop trying to allow, again, it goes back to wanting to be included in everything, fighting against the public school system, a system that's not created for us anyway. Yeah. Why are we trying to change that? This, like, I don't even see the point of that. The energy is off. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and waste my years fighting and battling and arguing about who the politician is over public schools when I can go and create my own school.
Right, right.
And it don't make sense.
Certain things is not instilled in kids nowadays. And I feel like they should create alternative classes that probably bring some psychologists in that create certain classes for the kids in order to, you know, tackle it on a more personal level, being that a lot of kids are dealing with a lot of personal issues that they don't truly comprehend because they're filtering it through a 14, 15, 16-year-old mind. So they just go on with it because it feels normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then, I feel like schools should add, teach the kids what they don't get at home. Give them what they don't get at home.
But public schools are not doing that. We're wasting our time.
It's not going to ever do that. It is not going to ever do that.
Ever.
Because if I let you use your creative thinking, you're not going to be the drone I need you to be. Okay. I want to do another free plug for someone. I get no benefits or commissions for this. Actually, I spoke about Dr. Boyce Watkins. He's actually doing these things now. Now, he's doing these things like the things that you're talking about, and it is a great resource. So, if you want to implement something now for your child while you're building up something, Dr. Boyce has a program for kids. It's called the Youth Builder Group, and he's teaching these kids about stocks. He's teaching them about being entrepreneurs, and not only kids, they have adult programs for different things. So, please check out Dr. Boyce Watkins and what he's doing. So, the time is running.
Like
We haven't touched on a whole lot of stuff again this week with the time of slide, but I'm gonna send some more information for Dr. Boyce Watkins because that brother right there is doing some major things right now, and we should all at least take one of his classes. But like if you want to be a business owner and you don't know or you don't know how to invest in the stock market, or you want to have your own homeschool, he has a platform in his group that teaches all those different things.
Nice.
I guess as time is starting to dwindle down on us, I don't know how far we're going again today. I think we were talking about certain things. I would be remiss because we started this whole thing about the origins of what was going on. But I do want people to realize that, man, our people did not ever stop fighting. You can watch the movie Amistad. That was the warrior spirit of our people. If you never heard of the movie Goodbye, Uncle Tom, please go find it. You can find it on YouTube, maybe if they haven't pulled it down, or Google and watch it. If you've seen Roots and you couldn't take Roots, it probably take you 10 attempts to watch Goodbye, Uncle Tom fully. But it was really raw and uncut, but it shows you exactly what happened. Our people never gave up, but you got to realize that over 300-400 years of being beat down and tormented and torn apart, that, you know, ultimately you're going to submit. But we have had rebellions from whether it be in the Caribbean and the North America throughout the diaspora during the period of slavery, chattel slavery. We never gave up. We always fought for freedom. Now, of course, you're going to have some of those that just want to put their head down and just take it and pray to God because they were taught to pray to God and say it's going to be all right. But then you had those elect few that said, damn that, we're going to fight. And that's the kind of spirit that we have to embody today. We got to take that back on. We got to say, man, we got to fight this. Because we are dealing with people, like you were talking about, a certain group of people who control the world. So, you know, we have to fight to get our foothold back. We have to fight to take back the mind of our kids from the inundation of the programs that they're feeding them through TV and radio. We have to fight to get them back on our agenda. You know,
we have to put our programs
on them.
I'm sorry. Do you think that is what makes everybody fight each other in a sense? You know, gang with the gangs and stuff like that. Basically, I was asking do you think being that we had to fight over and over and over again that this basically is the same reason why we're fighting each other in the community the way we are when you talk about, you know, gang-on-gang violence, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that correlates with each other?
I don't agree with fighting that. I agree with that.
I think that I think that the reason why you're seeing the violence and the fighting within the community is because that was a injected a thought or program. Because for young black men, you go into school and you're being told that you were nothing. You're being told that you was a slave. And first and foremost, they're weeding black kids out, especially the males. And that's why you see alternative schools and a lot of dropouts. And when they drop out, they can't get jobs. They can't take care of themselves. So they're out in the streets. They're trying to get it the fast way. This is the reason why you got videos with cars and all that stuff. This glamorous stuff, the women, they want that glamorous stuff. You think you're going to get it working at McDonald's or being a janitor? And that, no, not to anybody's doing that because you have to feed your family. But if you don't have the education, how are you going to provide? So what they do is turn to drugs and dope dealing or whatever kind of hustle they can get involved with.
But,
and so now what happens,
think,
that's with gunplay, sir.
Because I know, like, being a lot of people being in different situations, you know, it's a lot of pressure that they have to deal with at a young age, which, you know, that pressure may reduce someone's patience. Patience to even, you know, think as far as, oh, I want to go to school and I want to do this or I want to become that. Because the situation that they're facing now, they don't really have the capacity to dream that far. You know, do you think, and it influences, you know, the individual to take that path of making fast money. And
right.
Then it's also, you know, influenced by the music that we listen to every day, being that hip-hop is the culture that most of us identify ourselves with. You know, when we grow up, that's what we listen to. We dress like it, talk like it. Everything that happens in hip-hop typically correlates in, you know, the culture itself and all
and you
that, you know.
Those ready, I'm sorry, RJ. Do you think those radio CEOs don't know that? And they do that on purpose.
Right.
And so that it feeds the mind. But go ahead and finish your thought, please.
It's peer pressure. You know, to me, music is a form of peer pressure. Those vibrations that music gives off stimulates your whole entire brain. And it programs your subconscious mind.
But, okay, I'm looking at it from a maybe a female perspective. I got 2 minutes again, so this is why I need Quan. See, this is why I need Quan, technology assessment. I think the mentality of saying fight, we've been fighting for so long. I don't even think that's even the answer to be saying, to even put it out there, you know, words are powerful. So even to put the words of fighting out there, I feel like is a problem in itself. Because I hear what you're saying as far as needing to fight back, but we have been fighting for so long. That, yeah, it would make sense for us to use that fighting mentality and aggressive energy that we've got and that we're putting against each other towards the elite. But let's be realistic. Like, once you instill that in a person, regardless of how you want the energy to be channeled or not, they're individual. So they are programmed to fight, regardless if we're saying let's program to fight them against the elite, they're still going to be programmed with violence. It's a negative connotation. So should we switch that for a moment?
I don't think that you got my gist. I don't think you got my gist. When I say fight, that does not always mean physically. That does not always mean physically. There's different ways to fight back. If one should pick up the book The Art of War by Sun Tzu, because the fighting mentality, it may be a psychological fight. So instead of letting our kids listen to Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma rap about Sheether, let's get them in front of Dr. Boyce Watkins and feed them that. Let's program them on our agenda. That's how we fight, not with our hands, but with our brains. And so now we put a long-term plan in place.
Can we have the word for that?
Sir? Now?
Can we have another word for it?
That's what it is. I mean, you think they don't think of it on them terms? Do you think they're looking at a nice way to say how we're going to keep screwing these black people? How we're going to keep taking the stuff from these
Africans?
Well,
they're being aggressive. Well, we know that. That's my point. We know they're being aggressive. They're negative. That's negative energy. Like, if you want to get technical about energy, this is an energy-based type of thing. Energy is energy. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't care how you want to put it. But negative energy is negative energy. Positive energy is positive energy. There's no in-between when it comes to energy. There's no such thing as, okay, this is a medium, it's a mixture of both. It's either one or the other. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we already know their mentality is negative. We get that. That they've been saying it. They hateful. It's history. It's proven it. And it's proven it right now today. We live in it. So what I'm saying is, that's why I said, could we switch the way we're saying it? Because it does come off sounding negative. That's all I'm saying.
Personally, I feel everybody, like I said, I see everybody as an individual. And I feel like also in certain countries where they had these wicked rulers, Some people out there, they had no choice but to believe in what they believed in. They really had no choice, because if they didn't, they're off with their head.
Yeah.
Even with Kim Jong-un, if you go against what he believes in, he's off with your head. He killed his own family.
Yeah.
His uncle, cousins, off with, no, gone. You know, so I feel like even with Hitler, same thing. Because, you know, my grandma, she's from Germany. She survived it. They worked. Like, my grandma, she actually had Frenchmen. She had some Jewish folks on the, and they was farming together. My great grandma, they was farming together. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't with that. They didn't believe in that. They didn't believe in, you know, having that evil spirit inside of them. And but still, if you don't believe in what Hitler had going on, off with your head. You're not, you ain't with me, you're against me. So I do believe that there are good people out here, individuals, good individuals who have the capability of loving. You know what I'm saying? Or being compassionate about life and embracing it fully. You know what I'm saying? But in general, then you have those, you know, like I said, evil-minded, you know, just egotistical, just, you know, greedy, power-hungry. In a sense, they think they're superior. And they also have been caught up in that matrix of believing that, you know, they're superior and, you know, think that they're, you know, better than the next man. Being that I'm in this position, and that also I feel like it causes a certain conflict within each and every one who grows up in the hood or the ghetto, because being that you've grown up in that type of environment, you know, you got those people who grow up in the suburbs and the $1 million houses who automatically look down on people who grow up in those type of communities, you know, and you feel that, and that causes a certain, you know, what can I say, insecurities. You know what I'm saying? They make you feel inferior in the sense we have people treating you a certain way or talking to you a certain way, et cetera, because they just had a, you know, was born in a $1 million mansion, whatever the case may be. And this causes your ego to flare up. This causes your pride to flare up. This causes you to become selfish about a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Because this is your experience with it. So you channel that energy in a way where, you know what I'm saying, fuck everything. I got to go and get it. Like I said, and then again, with patience. Now you're in an environment where you have no patience. Now you have no choice but to go get it. So the system that was designed was very strategic and it was very intelligent. It was fucking evil geniuses. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Like, you're striking chords,
yeah.
RJ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thought about that this week. You know what I'm saying? This is where a lot of this, you know, this is why we channel the energy the way we do through our songs, through our music, et cetera, et cetera. We know why it's so popular. You know, and like, you try to get that temporary escape, try to escape it. But sometimes dealing with that type of reality is crazy. Because back home, like I said, when I go back home, last time I went, ain't shit changed from my understanding. Stuff got worse. And it's crazy out there, you know. It's crazy. Like, you get the club and get shot up out of nowhere, you know.
And Miss Ashley, I'm sorry. I apologize.
You good.
Miss Ashley, I think you're correct. I think because, like, RJ and I, we coming from a masculine male perspective, and you know, Quan, you're our counterbalance, and you know, there's things that come, and we need that duality, where a woman say, well, we're gonna come with this ideal, and we'll move this platform this way, and as us men, you know, RJ and I, we gonna look at y'all and say, hey, we gotta protect y'all with everything that we have in our being, and so we have to come from that standpoint. We gotta sit there and put our shield and our spirit in our hand and say that no matter what, we got to protect y'all, because see, our women are the most powerful being in this planet, and that's what people have lost, that idea. They've lost that because you ladies are the mother of civilization. All species of human come from the African melanated woman. You should be cherished. But now what they've done is menialize women and objectify women as sexual beings. Now, hey, I like to see it just as much as anybody else, but that's supposed to be behind closed doors, you know? And so now we got little girls talking on Facebook and stuff like that at a young age. So we have to combat those things. And I apologize. Hush your mouth. I apologize. We have to combat those things because if we putting that in the view of our children, our little girls, and they growing up thinking that if I wear a shirt that show all my cleavage, you know, yeah, I'm going to look at the cleavage, but now all I'm looking at you as is a sexual object. What I should be looking at you as in your eye and listening to your mentality, and I should fall in love with that first, and then you open up the rest of the the goods. You know, don't commune with your
goods. The rest of the universe.
No, I'm just saying, but don't, you know, that we have to teach our kids that, because if they're looking at basketball wise, if they're looking at Love and Hip Hop, if they're looking at videos,
that's
what do they
see? Right? Don't you think that's
what they look at all the video, look at all of all those women and they're pretty ladies. Look at the attire that they wear on those shows.
Yeah, you're right.
And
I mean, we
watching,
got a lot of work to do.
This.
And it's, and I'm telling
we
you,
do.
And I'm going to tell you what, again, in closing of today's episode, I'm telling you what I feel like the problem is. How we going to fix it? Not even the problem. How we going to fix it? The solution. The solution would be schools, number one. We need a massive amount of people getting together, opening schools. I understand what you're saying. Oh, there's one school. One school is not enough. Okay, I'm just going to keep it 100.
No, it's not.
We
need
massive amount of schools. Like, people got to switch how they. Okay, you want to open up a business? Okay, how about you open up a school? You know, like, we need to start really seriously shifting the mindset of massive. Now that's adults, because obviously a kid can't open up a school, right? Like, we can't. This is what I'm trying to say is, we talking about the youth. But we can't. They can't open up a school. That still goes back to the grown folks. So the grown folks,
mm-hmm.
we have to come together, put their money together, their resources together, and we need to open, have a massive revolution of education, like legit opening up schools. I don't want to keep seeing, oh, well, popping up with, you know, these seminars. That stuff, I'm telling you, that stuff is not going to work like a school. Give me school. That's where we're going to start the reprogramming. Okay, so once we do, that's the first step. Now, the second step, obviously, we do what? Now we got the schools open, we put our children in these schools, and we educate them one thing at a time. Now, as far as businesses, with grown folks too, we need to start migrating our businesses together. So it's like, okay, find out what people do, what they're good at, and start putting them under one umbrella. That's what we are doing. So if you got this that you're good at, and you got this that you're good at, or this is your passion, and this is your passion, we need to start putting those collectively together and put it under one umbrella. So number one, it's easier for us to get customers, so customers don't feel like they got to spend money here, spend money there, spend money there, all over the place, spend money under one umbrella. And you're getting all that you need under one umbrella, similar to Walmart, Target, everybody. Those two things, to me, will kind of start our process of getting things back, I guess, what we're trying to, what both of y'all saying, because I agree with both of y'all, getting it back to the point where we can start focusing on the children, focusing on the youth, focusing on the future, and start building. But we can't do it the way it is now. It's scattered. And that's just the reality. It's just scattered. Everybody got all these online courses. Everybody got, it's too, again, go back to what I'm saying, everybody's doing their own thing. It's too much.
I'm going to do number two. I'm going to go back to women. The women, I feel like the women is also a very important ingredient in the process. Why? Because I think Brother Polite said this. He was saying that, you know, in order to destroy a nation, you will destroy the woman. Reading also in the Bible, you know, that's why the serpent.
Women at the end.
Woman.
I agree. Women got to come together.
Exactly.
But not
just women coming together. Us men, we got to actually really mature and do right by y'all. Allow us to learn stuff from y'all as well as y'all learn from us.
But the women got to make it so that y'all want to respect us. You got women, like you saying, with Love and Hip Hop, the way they dress and the way they act, and they don't even
that's
look at
true.
Themselves as queens. So, again, it still goes, first of all, who's raising the men? I said this before. This is a whole other episode. Oh, my God. Like, one other episode. Who is raising the men? You can't sit here. I'm a black female. I'm not going to sit here and bash another black man. I love my black man. I don't care what nobody say.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, who's raising them? Like, we sit here, I want to go outside my race, and I want to do this, and I want to, well, who raised them? Like, I don't understand what you're saying. The mama raised them. If it's a single-parent household, who raised them? You can't get mad because they're growing up the way they're growing up. You raised them like that. You sitting out here stripping in a nightclub and all on social media and chasing after this dude and chasing after that dude and yelling at your kids all the time that you want them to go to bed because you want to get on the phone or you want to have sex. Like, we got to start, like, I just want to keep it 100. Like, that's just what it is. Women focus more on their pleasure of the noun than themselves. And I get into this with network marketing. I hate I hate with a passion seeing so many women going from company to company to company, worrying about let me lose weight. Well, what about your kids? Okay, y'all got obese kids. Your kids is unhealthy. You always on social media trying to brand and market, talking about you got the newest this and the newest that, and you traveling, going to all these conventions for network marketing, spending all this unnecessary money on investing on investing. But how about you invest in your kids? Again, it goes back to the mom. I'm a big advocate for that because I go to yoga. I do yoga at my house with my children. I go to Zumba with my children. Like, my kid, like, I'm just saying, like, they're only 5 and 7, but they understand more about health than some adults. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm the mom, and when I'm not here no more, because who knows my day and hour, what if I leave before they even grown? I need to leave them with something, some type of substance. So I agree with you. It do start with the women, but the women, the way we coming together with all this women's empowerment and feminine, they're going about it the wrong way. Like, y'all just want attention. Like, that's what I feel. Like, it's just a bunch of attention. Oh, I'm just a woman. Okay, we'll show you a woman by doing what I'm saying. Get the, and they start formulating some committees within your neighborhood. Show that. Some meetings.
Ms.
Put
Ashley.
Some stuff together. What?
Ms. Ashley, that's a systematic design to that feminist movement that was like white women were brought up with that. And then black women joined up with that. They never had the problems that black women had, but black women jumped on that, and now that's what we're facing with now. And this, the whole agenda of when they came up with welfare and told the black woman that you can have this house, you can have help with food, but your husband or your man can't be in the house with you. Now you put him on child support, he can barely afford to live. You know what I mean? And so now you're upset with him because he doesn't have enough money to do what he needs to do for you because the government is taxing him, and he got back child support and all that. It's a big system. That's why it was called the projects. Man, I wanted to touch on that. Let's deal with this for the next time I'm on. I don't know if I'm going to be on next week or not, but we need to talk about some of the some of the agendas that that the government has for us. There's things like the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Ashkenazi Jew. You need to look about that. How was Israel formed? Because we're going to touch back on the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all of that as well, too. But see, these people think in long-term strategy. It's like chess. I don't make this move right now. I'm thinking about 5 moves ahead. So they knew that if they destroyed and broke apart their black family, what would happen? Now look at the kids. The kids are destroyed because of it. And you know, if a man don't have enough money, he's not paying his child support. And man, you need to step up. You shouldn't have to, you know, be told what you need to do. Take care of your kids. But you know, you being told how to mandate how you take care of your kids, and then if you don't do it, guess what? We're gonna take your driver's license. We'll put you in jail. The black family is messed up. So what happens between the father and the mother? There's animosity now. So now they can't even have a civil conversation. The kid suffers because of that. Now they have the esteem issues that you talked about earlier, RJ, when they go to school. They can't concentrate on learning nothing.
Right.
See,
that's
this
true.
Is a, we are messed up. And like,
I don't want to give out my secret to my school because we on air, but I'm just going to say, like, all of what you said is part of the situation. But I ain't get into that because I don't want nobody trying to. I don't want, again, here we go back to what we said. We don't want them to be listening. And then they take it, so I ain't
going to
say nothing, okay?
Yeah, like, concentration, paying attention. I mean, we're dealing with a generation of ADHD, a generation with parents for kids who are, quote-unquote, ADHD, ADD, and they want to feed them with Ritalin, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you know how strong Ritalin is?
Yes, I know.
Why do you give it to kids?
I know.
Why do you not give it to kids?
I know.
Personally, like, and,
but yeah, we went over time today. Yeah, this was a real good. Like, listen, we got real deep. We got to hit a lot of different topics. I didn't even get on the. I didn't even talk about what I told y'all wanted to talk about. But we'll talk about that at another time. But see, you know, I do appreciate it again, Jay. I do appreciate you getting on. You're always welcome back anytime. You know, continue to support the new movement. I love to continue to keep talking to you, getting some more knowledge and wisdom, and, you know, building connections. And definitely we'll, you know, get you back on and start talking about the economy and that different things like that. But if you know anybody that, you know, in your circle that might be interested in coming on and sharing their expertise with the world, feel free to let them know. And you know, we just got to educate our people. And this stuff like this is going to be around for a long time. This is the audio. It's recorded. You know, we can always go back to it. So I do love it. And I'm grateful for this opportunity and to be doing this project and working on this, because I feel like it's going to be something truly, truly powerful and useful. We're going to go back and, like, maybe a year or two from now, I go back and the school be built. And we be like, you remember when we had the episode and we were talking about the school?
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I'm also excited, and I've already reached out to a couple people that I'm looking forward to in the future to bring on. And you know what, like, man, I'm going to try to make some time Sunday, but I just want to come back, man, because I enjoy being able to share the things that I've experienced. I've had a very powerful couple of days ahead, man. I formulated my own cable company, guys, and I'm excited about that, and I'm ready to spread that out throughout the U.S. But, you know, we have so many powerful things that are coming up, and I just want to be able to be a vessel to help spread this awareness. And I truly enjoy this, and I'm humbled that you guys asked me to even come and do this. I really am.
Oh, well, you have a great evening, and we'll see all of our crew back next week. So you share the link, and next month actually, well, next week will be the beginning of March. That's Women's History Month. So you already know what we're about to go with that.
That's
so
it.
RJ just pretty much ended this episode with a highlight of what's coming, because his story versus her story would be our episode.
Oh, yeah.
So he so he just kind of like highlighted all this. So next week we'll be going on with the series about his story versus her story for the month of March, and we, you know, try to get some we've got some guest speakers that we're gonna have some lined up to see if they can get on and share their wisdom and things that they're doing for the women around the world, and, you know, build up that culture. And like you just hit on it, like the mothers, like we gotta get the mothers going. We gotta get to that root, and that's where it is that is with the women. So to build our system up, to build our culture up, to build our economy up, is going to have to start there. So again, we appreciate each and every one of you, and how we end our show every time we diss everybody.